Good evening, everyone. I'm Rufus Greenbaum. I'm not a medical professional. I'm a private individual. And I'd like to share with you things I've learnt, some information for you to take away and to build upon in your own way. My primary interest is preventive health. That's where I started getting involved. How could I live longer in good health for much longer? Could I get to 99 or 100 in good health? Would that be enough? That'll do. Because what seems very obvious is that many people get to about 50 and they start getting ill and people start dying and so on. But when I started getting involved with medical people, because I arranged some medical conferences, they said, well, who is this fellow? Does he understand the difference between a hypothesis and a randomised controlled trial? And my background before I retired is as an engineer, and so I do claim to understand the difference. I've been in correspondence with various parts of the UK government since late 2009, because I decided I wanted to change public health policy about vitamin D in this country. It's about equal to boiling the ocean, you know. And so I had a go. I've been involved with five hospitals in northwest London in different ways, and I'll talk about that a bit later. I organised four conferences, three of them at the Wellcome Trust Conference Centre, just up the road, where we brought in some experts from all around the world and brought in, each time, 150 medical professionals, nutritionists, practitioners, and spread the word. And you can watch these. These were videoed, and you can watch these later. And following that, I started getting commercially involved. So I do have a commercial connection, but I'll try and be as impartial as I can, and then you can decide afterwards whether you want to get involved with the products of these companies. So this is where I started, and vitamin D has, nutrition has a part to play, exercise has a part to play, and vitamin D in particular has a part to play in helping you and me live a bit longer in good health. So, what's the effect of sunlight in the UK? I'm sure you will understand that sun hits the skin, penetrates the skin, interacts with the cholesterol in the body, and that creates a hormone that travels around the body and interacts with every cell in the body. So, around 2002, 2003, 2004, Elena Hifanen, who's a renowned researcher in this area, did some research, and she said, well, what's the blood level of vitamin D of the average British person? Now, they were a birth cohort of 7,000 people who were born in 1958. And for reasons that I don't know, these were all white-skinned people. They were born in Britain in 1958. It just so happened. But look at what happens through the year. At the end of the winter, the vitamin D level is here, down at 35 nanomoles. And at the end of the summer, the end of September, it's up at 75. Now that's the natural level for people who would go out, perhaps in a t-shirt, and expose a little bit of their body to the sun. It was 3,500 men, 3,500 women, and just selected more or less at random. We'll come back to this because this is very significant, and you'll need to take note of these numbers. You ought, hands up, who knows what their vitamin D level is at the last test? Anybody know? Mine was 143 nanomoles. I'm way up here, but does anybody know what their level was?
No. How do you test?
I think that from the mine was also quite high.
Okay, and one of the nutritionists in the shop was at 200, and again he chose to reduce his level, and that's fine.
How do you test?
There are two ways, and I'll come on to that in just a minute. Now, what you and your doctor does about your vitamin D level depends upon the definition, because in the UK, the Department of Health has said 25 nanomoles, which is the 25 hydroxy vitamin D in the blood, 25 OHD, you'll be seeing that in a number of slides. the Department of Health says to every GP, that is our definition of deficiency. If the blood test comes back at 26, no action required. If the blood test comes back at 24, you better do something about it. You have to do something about it. In America, they set the level at 50. I'll show you some examples of people who say that we ought to have 75. And there are a group of experts that I'll talk about who say it ought to be between 100 and 150. So let's come to that picture again. If the average Briton is at 35 to 75 through the year, it's not a problem. There's no problem. No action. But if somebody should say, we think the level should be greater than 100 for medical reasons, for biological reasons, because there are biomarkers that change, well then, now somebody's got to take some action. And the Department of Health, the UK government and your doctor won't do anything for another 2 years. I predict nothing will happen, and I'll explain why. Here's the level in Scotland. And you'll notice that in February it's down at 10 nanomoles. And it only gets up to 45, 50 in the peak of their minimal summer. And I maintain that the poor health in Scotland is due to the lack of sunlight, not to the deep-fried Mars bars, or their diet. In the UK, you may have read about this in the last year, we've had 700 recorded cases of rickets. What's happened is the doctors, the medical profession, have forgotten what they knew 50 years ago about vitamin D. When I was born, I was given a spoonful of cod liver oil. It was wartime. The government provided it free of charge. It was inspired. A wartime government, the country was under siege, and yet the government found a way to get cod liver oil to babies. But today, the doctors have only just begun to relearn what their predecessors have forgotten. And I'm not the only one. I've been an evangelist, but there's 5 or 10 of us who've been pushing and fighting the Department of Health, prodding the Department of Health, pushing them, kicking them to do something about it, and at last they are. This comes from a doctor in Blackburn who sent me the results of 1,000 people who've been sent for a blood test. Now, remember, this was not Mr. and Mrs. Average. This was people where a doctor suspected they were deficient. So they were sent for a vitamin D blood test. But if you say that the level has to be 25, well then about a third are deficient. If you say the level should be 50, well then three quarters of them are deficient. If you go to the new level that I'm going to propose between 100 and 150, well 90% are deficient. And so you as an individual, your doctor, some of you are health professionals, you're a nutritionist, you need to take your own view as to what you think the level should be and why, and then the action that follows depends upon the view you take. If you'll join me at the level of 100 to 150 nanomoles, then almost certainly you'll raise your supplementation. Ealing Hospital, 5,000 patients. You could hold these two charts up together and they're virtually the same. The story that I got from the doctor in Ealing, this was the worst example of what had happened. A Somali teenage girl arrived by aeroplane when she was about 12 or 13 and lived in Ealing. She got married. She had a baby. Baby got ill. Somebody said, oh, you'd better go to the hospital. She arrived at the hospital in A&E with her baby, and that was the first time she'd ever seen a British doctor. Because they treated themselves in their community, and she had a natural birth at home. The result of that is that the hospital has reached out to the community. They found the deputy mayor of Ealing is a Somali woman, and she is now spreading the message that the dark-skinned Somali women, people, men and women, need to take some vitamin D to replace the sunlight they would have got back home that they don't get here. you know, there are three or four or five of you here who have got dark skins, and where you and your family were born, you had lots of sunlight, you'd built up your own protection against the sunlight, which is why you've got dark skins. We develop lighter skins living further from the equator, and you need to do something about vitamin D. We'll come back to it. So, Ealing, they had 17 babies who were ill in the last 3 years, in those 3 years. Parathyroid hormone levels, raised alkaline phosphatase. And look at the medical situation. Delays in walking and moving of babies. This is the tail of that curve. This is the real extreme of that curve, where babies are ill with rickets, with problems with walking and motor action, even to the point of cardiac failure. It's as serious as that. So Dr. Mickey is one of two or three people who's very active in pushing for mass supplementation of mothers, pregnant women and babies. So how does vitamin D deficiency present itself? In the short term, it's muscle pain. Oh, my muscles ache. If you say your muscles ache, your bones ache, you're probably vitamin D deficient. We'll come back to that. But there are other illnesses. There's one doctor who said lack of sunlight is implicated in about 100 illnesses. Implicated. We'll look at the proof. There's about 20 or 30 where there's solid proof. Probably about 50 where there's strong evidence, and another 20 or 30 where it's weaker evidence. But of course, some of them are just not medium-term things, but longer-term things. They take 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years to develop. You ask the question, how do you test? You go to your doctor, ask the doctor. The average GP will say, I'll do it once a year.
Look for everything is perfect.
That's fine. Okay. But there is one NHS hospital which will do a test for you direct to the public. You phone them up, give them your credit card details, give them your address, they'll post you out this packet. You'll stab your finger, get some blood, put it on some blotting paper, post it back to them, and they'll email you the result. I did mine on a Thursday. I posted mine on a Thursday, and in Monday's email I got the result. And my result was that I had a blood level of 143 nanomoles. Now here's the next point at which you, your doctor, and you as a health professional need to take notice, because every lab will have their own reference figures. This particular hospital says, if you're greater than 50 nanomoles, that's fine, that's adequate. Philo Lab just around the corner here sets it at 75. My own doctor, the whole practice sets it at 50, but my own personal doctor, after he and I have been talking about this for a couple of years, it has raised his level to 75. Okay?
Can you go to the Truist slice, that there's a telephone number there?
Yeah, there it is. 0121 507 4278. It's a Birmingham NHS hospital. If you'd like the details, contact me afterwards and I'll gladly share. You can have copies of this presentation. So there's my result. And I take 5,000 units of vitamin D a day. If you're taking 1,000, that's fine, but that's between you and your doctor to discuss and decide what you want to do. There is a self-test. There's a very simple self-test. Do any of you feel that your bones ache?
Yes.
Your joints ache? Your muscles ache? Yes. Right. Find your sternum, which is the lowest bone in your ribcage, right in the middle. Press it as hard as you can. Okay, hands up. Hands up who's going to tell me it hurts. One, two.
Sorry, we look for a pain.
Yeah.
Press your sternum,
yeah.
And does it hurt you? As hard as you can, does it hurt?
Yeah, hurts. Yeah.
Okay, you. Okay, then, and the other one is press your shin bone, each of the shin bones, as hard as you can. Yes. Mm-hmm. Not some.
Yeah.
A little. Okay. Well, then that Mayo Clinic says that if you feel pain, there's a very good chance that you're vitamin D deficient. So those of you who put your hand up, who felt the pain, either do the test yourself or go to a doctor and ask for a test. It's not an accurate quantitative test, but it's free. You can do it. There is a group of scientists, 40 scientists, eminent scientists, who've signed a call to action. This is it, and you're welcome to take this away. Who say that between 40 and 75% of the world's population is deficient. The link for bones and muscles is accepted by the medical profession. But they say there are other illnesses, conditions, where the blood level ought to be higher. They ought to be the level of you in Africa or the Caribbean, wherever your ancestors were born, or the Maasai warriors in Africa, who lived without many clothes on and got lots and lots of sun all day long. And that's the level of... And they're saying it's that there is an association with some of these illnesses, and that it's safe to get your level higher, and they suggest that you do actually take a higher level of supplement. What they're also saying is that 4,000 units a day is a safe upper limit for any adult, and that includes pregnant women. The European Food Safety Agency has said that pregnant women and all other adults may take 4,000 units a day. So it's as safe as that. What this group says, and EFSA, say that 10,000 is the area where they've never seen a problem, but they're being conservative and saying that 4,000 is okay. The only people who should be careful are those who've got sarcoidosis or any other granulomas disease, and then you and your doctor will know that you should not be taking certain things anyway. So, by all means, take a copy of this away. I wrote a review together with a nutritionist, Katie Bolland, about pregnancy and lactation. The long-term illnesses, the 10, 20, 30-year ones, are one thing, and it's going to take a long time to find out the results. But in pregnant women, in young girls who are going to get pregnant, they can do something about it, and we can see the results within 9 months. So that's worth going for. And I've been focusing on that for the past year. And there is lots of evidence that if you get the vitamin D up much higher, you can reduce preeclampsia, gestational diabetes, emergency C-sections, anemia, bacterial vaginosis, preterm delivery, miscarriages, and postnatal depression. So lots and lots of things that happen in pregnancy can be avoided if you get the vitamin D level up, but you've got to get it up quite high. There's a group of doctors who, over the last 10 years, gave 4,000 units a day to pregnant women, and they proved it's safe and effective. The pregnancy was easier, the birth was easier, and the baby was bigger and healthier.
I just wanted to ask, what kind of vitamin D are we talking about?
D3.
Okay,
standard G3 cholecalciferol.
How about vegans?
Well, vegans, there is a product, I'll talk about it later, there is a vegan product. Mm-hmm. I thought a week ago NutriCentre had it on the system and ready to sell. There is this one, it's supposedly on their system, but it's not ready to sell. So,
there's a fact they can spray it down.
That's fine. There's one in there. There's one in there you can buy, the spray. I'm going to talk about some drops. You're interested in the vegan product, but for those who are interested in the vegan versus D3, D3 is made with the oil that comes from the back of a live sheep. The wool is sheared, and that wool is taken, and oil is taken off that wool. So you're not eating the flesh of the sheep, you're not eating anything off a dead sheep. You're taking the oil that was taken off a live sheep.
But all sheep are sprayed. They have a special dip that they're different.
Well, I can't answer for that, but what happens is that you're not getting the actual oil, you're getting a product which has been produced from that oil, and has been purified. And there are some Muslim imams who specified that vitamin D3 is acceptable for Muslims. I've got a WHO statement signed off by about 40 imams. I don't think the rabbis will do it for the Jewish people. They won't accept that. But
where I'm concerned is the dip is very toxic.
I can't go. I don't know the details of how pure the cholecalciferol is that ends up in the products that are in the shop here. But it's not taken from a live animal, from a dead animal, which is the point that the vegans worry about. Yeah. But if you're an ultimate lacto.
No, my daughter is vegan. She doesn't want to use any blue light.
Okay, well, this particular one is says vegan on it. So, by all means. I think there's one other in the stock in the shop
as
well.
Pregnant.
Okay, well, she should be taking. Well, then I would really. If she and you will accept what I'm saying and what the experts are saying, then she should be taking 2,000 to 4,000 units of this, 2 to 4 drops of this a day during pregnancy. But that's for you, her, and her doctor. And the doctors are currently very conservative, and they're only saying 400 units. So
on the timing of the taking of the vitamins, supplements.
Any time of the day, once a week will do. Come back to that. So if you or I want to interact with the government, the Department of Health, here we are, there's a whole group of them. All of the ministers of health, I've written to all of them. I've met with her. I've been to 2 meetings with NICE. I'm the only member of the public who's been to every one of the public meetings of SACN. If you write to any of these people, they'll say, we're waiting for guidance from our experts. And the experts have got a 3-year program which will come back in mid-2014. So the government won't do anything until mid-2014. And my view on this is that governments and researchers are very cautious. They don't want to give you and me advice which will help 10 million of us for fear it might harm one. Then they'll be blamed for harming the one. So they're very, very conservative. Health professionals can make their own judgment. Your doctor can make a judgment. You can make a judgment today. And your doctor could advise you based upon a discussion with you today. So that's the way forward. So I wrote to SACN. I made a submission to SACN. They were inviting submissions. I put one in and said, look, there's evidence from things in your body. Here are 3 peer-reviewed scientific reports that say the level should be at least 75, if not 100 nanograms. And the things that change are your bone density, your calcium, your rate of absorption, and the parathyroid hormone. And I don't know enough about it, but I'm of the opinion that those who've been severely deficient in vitamin D early in their life go on to become thyroid sufferers in later life. It's mostly postmenopausal women who are severe sufferers of with thyroid problems, and I think it can be traced back to vitamin D deficiency in younger, in earlier times. And so therefore it should be considered. You should think about it. My view is that the body uses up, every cell in your body, when it replaces itself, goes to its DNA, and it uses up a little bit of vitamin D as part of that replacement of the cell. If you want to read about that, Professor Heaney talks about it, watch the video, he explains the detail. There's a couple of hours of lectures on specifically on that. But the body uses up the genes, the vitamin D in the body modifies your genes. It upregulates some, it downregulates others. And most of us are running on an empty tank, and we really ought to be up here. Muscle strength is affected, and the bones start losing calcium. If you get your vitamin D level high enough, your bones start taking in calcium. So those are the 3 things that happen if your blood level is low. Now here was some... I am very pleased that that government committee, SACN, has now set 8 health groups of things that they're looking at. Because these surprised me. This is a Swiss researcher. She's been doing this sort of work for many years. What she's found is that adults, seniors, who are living indoors, never see sunlight, are severely vitamin D deficient. And they get to the point where, oh, I can't get out of the chair. Oh! You know, you've probably got aged parents or grandparents or friends and family who are like that. What she found is, get the vitamin D level up to quite high levels, and the sit to stand, suddenly, that senior who was all slow and lethargic, oh, I feel great, my muscles are good. It's instant. It happens within a week. In the muscle. The muscle repair. Just absolutely incredible. Been working with some chiropractors who get people who say their muscles are aching, their bones are aching, and they replenish the vitamin D. It's instant. The time to walk measured 5 meters. The old senior can't make it. Get the vitamin D level up and suddenly they're moving. So that's amazing. This one surprises me every time I look at it. Dental attachment. Dental problems. There's an old saying, get pregnant and lose a tooth. Yeah? Well, this is part of it. And what we're going to see a little bit later is that the blood level of pregnant women ought to be up, way up, even higher than the non-pregnant people. And she found real proof that this government committee is now accepting that this low vitamin D level, or rather higher vitamin D level, protects against colorectal cancer. So this is the first of the cancers. Where this government committee is going to come out in 2014 and say, we believe that vitamin D is relevant for colorectal cancer. How much do you need? Well, given that cyclical nature of the vitamin D level, I would say to get to 100 nanomoles, the average person would need 4,000 a day in winter and 2,000 in summer. Again, it depends upon what level you set. You might find that compliance, if you're a health professional, compliance is better for a larger tablet capsule taken once a week. The half-life of vitamin D in the body is 30 days. So you can take it one. So unlike zinc and vitamin C, which gets lost in 6 hours, this lasts for 30 days. So you can take a big dose of vitamin C once a week. I've got some samples of 50,000 units, so that's equivalent to about 7,000 a day. And there are many, many people who are taking one a week of that. So we'll come back to that. Obese people, because the vitamin D is spread through the fat in the body, obese people should probably take double the dose, up to double the dose. So a person with diabetes, who's obese, trying to lose... An obese person, they've got 2 or 3 or 4 things they've got to get right. They've got to cut out the carbs, they've got to get their vitamin D level up, and they've got to do some exercise. And vitamin D is a major part of a diabetic resolving and getting rid of type 2 diabetes. Anybody who covers their body fully never exposes it to the sun, so that's religious Muslims, religious Jews and others who sort of cover up to here. They should take the full amount, not change it through winter and summer.
Is there any link between vitamin D deficiency and mental diseases like schizophrenia?
Yes, no question about it. If you know of anybody who has some of the mental problems like depression and schizophrenia and so on, leading on to Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, get the blood level tested before you start doing other therapies. Yes, there's the definite association. If you're very, very low, without what the Germans call Stoss therapy, without a loading dose, it takes between 90 and 120 days. It takes 3 to 4 months to stabilise. I put here 10%, but I now believe it's as much less than that. One in 166 was what I heard a couple of weeks ago. People have a problem with vitamin D. They are too sensitive or not sensitive enough, and therefore should take very special medical view. And the response to the dose varies. And if you want to see how it varies, go to that website. It's required for the rest of your life. This is not like iron, where one top-up will do for years and years and years. It does have to be supplemented forever. And if one person in the family is suffering, particularly you dark-skinned people, it's very, very likely that others in your family have a similar problem and should all be tested or supplemented.
I was born in the Middle East, yeah. And I've been coming here till I was 30.
Yeah.
So I was in the sun all the time. Does that mean then I would have to take...
Yes. Your vitamin D level will change to the country you're living in and the conditions you're in within 60 to 90 days. So go back to Cairo for a holiday, top up in the sun, come back here, and 60 to 90 days you'll be back down to the British level. So it's not sort of the fact that you were great last year. Okay, so that's a rough guide. What you can buy over the counter, what you're buying, vitamin D, over the counter in Boots or Asda or Superdrug or Lloyd's, is 1,000 units, which is 25 micrograms. So if you're taking that, whatever level you might have been at, rough guide, if you're low, you're going to raise it by 25 nanomoles. If you were to take two of those tablets a day, you'd raise your blood level by 50. If you were to take three, you'd raise it by 75. And that matches with what I'm saying. I'm taking 5,000 units, and I'm at about 140 nanomoles. Something to read about and research and consider: if you take more than 2,000 a day, you should consider cofactors, specifically vitamin K, K2. I think we might come to some unintended consequences of lots of people taking lots and lots of vitamin D. And that is, it encourages more calcium in the bone, but it also, without the vitamin K, puts more calcium in the arteries. You don't want that. And the K in particular directs the vitamin D into the bones. So it's a plus effect. It makes the bones stronger and it helps the arteries. And some of the other things are relevant. And there is a product called D3 Plus from Biotech Pharmacal, which is this manufacturer. It's not that particular product, but they do have a product. And I thoroughly recommend this website, Vitamin D Wiki. We'll come back to that in a minute. Action. What should we do about it? Well, I wrote part of this for the government and for doctors and for public health specialists. It's an easy, hard task. The individual task is easy. Saying to you, take 1,000 units a day, and for you to do it is relatively easy. But to get 60 million people in this country to do it, should that be required, is a hard task. You know, David Cameron, the Queen, and the Secretary of State for Health could stand up and say, everybody in this country should take vitamin D. And a few will, but not everybody will. So it's a big task. There's a group in Birmingham who's been doing this for 5 years, and they've doubled the uptake of vitamin D in pregnant women and young children, and they've halved the rate of rickets in Birmingham. Well done. But it's been a massive task. But they've done it, and they're doing more.
So what form of children should take, or how much they should
take? The government will give newborn babies healthy start vitamins. For the first 6 months. I'm doing some work with this Canadian company that makes a vitamin D drop for babies. Mm-hmm. And of course I'd like to offer that.
How many milligrams?
That's 400 units per drop. That's 10 micrograms per drop. And unlike the other systems which have a dropper, which we can deliver too much, the D-Drops product has a very accurate dropper that delivers exactly the right drop. That one drop is 400 units, 10 micrograms. And the only other thing in that bottle is coconut oil. There's nothing else, no other nasty chemicals. So I thoroughly recommend that.
But that's it. I was talking in about, you know, the spray.
Yes.
I don't know, you know, I forget the name of this company, but there's some spray.
Better you, better you. It's in there.
Yeah,
it's in the shop.
That's good.
That's fine. Your choice.
How about for a dark skin boy, 4 years old, how much he should pay?
Doesn't matter the colour of his skin, the fact that he's 4 years old can take 1,000 units, which is 25 micrograms. So whatever you can buy in Boots and Asda is acceptable. So let me move on a little bit. I want to whiz through some of this. What started me off on the whole of my vitamin D evangelism was this chart. Because I've been reading half the books here that say if you eat this and don't eat this, you can change your health by 10, 20, 30%. And then this chart says, if you get your vitamin D level up from here to here, you can, and take some calcium, you can reduce your risk of all cancers by 77%. I just fell off my chair. Is this snake oil? Is this real? And this is published by Professor Cedric Garland. He's Professor of Public Health at the University of California, San Diego, and he's been researching this for more than 30 years. And I invite you to, if you're interested in this, to take one of these sheets and to research this further. Because what this is saying is all cancers, lymphoma, diabetes, fractures, falls, multiple sclerosis, heart attacks, kidney cancer, endometrial cancer. Look, this is the rickets problem down here. This is the bone problem. This is what the current government advice is. Make sure you're taking enough vitamin D so you don't get bone and muscle problems. What this group is saying is that these other illnesses, there's solid evidence where the boxes are solid, you can extrapolate with some of the others. Let me move on. So here's the rickets problem down here at sub 50 nanomoles. And what they're saying is heart attacks, falls and fractures, multiple sclerosis, breast cancer, renal cancer, all cancers, type 1 diabetes. If you get your blood level up between 100 and 150, you can reduce your risk of those illnesses.
You said if you take it with calcium?
Yes. A modest amount of calcium.
Are there diets or a pill? Where are they?
I'll come back to that. The simple answer is, if your vitamin D level is high enough, it will enable your body to absorb the calcium. You don't need to take these chalky tablets that the doctors are giving you today. They're horrible, and they've got too much chalk and calcium and not enough vitamin D. They ought to be the other way around. The hypothesis that Vitamin D Wiki proposes is that there's strong proof that these illnesses are caused by and can be treated with vitamin D, that these illnesses, there's an association, and it's suspected that there's a connection with those illnesses. And if you or family or friends suffer with any of those illnesses, it's worth researching further and investigating yourself. Vitamin D Wiki is the most amazing source of information. Let's have a look at this. Vitamin D Wiki. Somebody mentioned an illness that they think may be related to vitamin D.
Depression.
What's it called? She said it first. Depression. That's brought back 825 results. So you're now invited to spend the next few hours reading those links. And they will lead on to scientific evidence and further information. So...
Can I mention psoriasis?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. Thank you. Dr. Michael Hollick.
Thank you.
Gives the most wonderful talk about vitamin D. His is the first one, if you're just interested from the beginning, his is the first talk to go and watch. 40 minutes in, for about 5 minutes, he talks about psoriasis. Mm-hmm. And he shows exactly what he does with psoriasis and how relevant it is.
What's his name again?
Dr. Hollick. H-O-L-I-C-K. Let's come back to this. Whatever you think may be relevant, go to Vitamin D Wiki and do a search and you'll get more information. So, let's look at a few medical conditions. All-cause mortality. They did a test on 714 women aged 70 to 79, looked at them for 6 years. What they found is, this is the American method, so you'll have to multiply this by 2.5. So, say about 60 nanograms versus 35, 40. And these people whose vitamin D levels were higher lived 2 to 3 years longer. Not bad. Pop a pill, pop some vitamin D once a day, once a week, and live 3 years longer in better health. Fractures. This needs some further detail, but basically says, even if you only take 800 units a day, you'll reduce your risk of fractures to about 60% of what it would have been if you didn't. So if you're in danger of breaking bone as you get a bit older. Neonatal vitamin D. Now, if you know anybody who's pregnant, this is the one to show them. They looked at hundreds of thousands of people, and what they found is that vitamin D supplements were given in infancy, and the risk of their type 1 diabetes was reduced by 30% at age 15. In other words, they followed up children who had been given vitamin D as infants. When they were age 15, those who had vitamin D had less type 1 diabetes, not type 2. This is a bit too detailed, but basically, with 3D ultrasound, you can see rickets in the fetus inside the mother's womb. And the bottom line is that for those mothers who had higher blood levels, their children had less rickets before they were born. Pregnancy outcomes. This was a real randomized control trial, which doctors or all medical professionals should accept. It was done with 690 women. They gave them 400, 2,000 or 4,000 units a day from week 12 until the baby was born. And those that got 4,000 units a day reduced by half those problems. Come on to that in a minute. So that's what happened to the blood level. I'm sorry, this is an American unit, so you have to multiply these numbers by 2.5. 400 units, 2,000 units, or 4,000 units. But look at this. Let's put this into UK numbers, 30. That's 80 nanomoles. These were women in South Carolina, so they were quite good. They were boosted up to 120 nanomoles. Okay. Compare that to that. But let's go back to that. That is absolutely incredible that those pregnancy problems were reduced by half. I'm sorry, our government only recommends, our Department of Health only recommends 400 units, not 4,000 units. It can take a few years before the medical professional accepts this. But this is now well accepted in by some doctors in America. This one, forget vitamin D now. What they did is they looked at 40,000 patients with multiple sclerosis. They were in Canada, UK, Denmark and Sweden. So we're talking about people north, way north of the equator. And they followed them up. People get multiple sclerosis from their 30s and 40s and 50s. They followed them up and they looked at their birth month. What month of the year were they born? Okay. In other words, when did the mother get maximum sunshine or minimum sunshine? So the risk of multiple sclerosis was plus 10% or minus 10%, depending on which month they were born. I mean, this is averaged out over 40,000 patients. Any time you see that cyclical curve, then sunshine is implicated. And therefore vitamin D. Now, this isn't proof, but there's an association here. But look at the incidence of multiple sclerosis in America. Much less here. There is some. There's an average incidence, but there's much less here and there's much more there. So it's part of the association. It begins to come together. The people who've got multiple sclerosis know that massive doses of vitamin D help. The cure helps. And it may be that it might have avoided it. How much does an infant get? This was a study of 33,000 infants. Down the bottom here, we're talking about breast milk or formula. But the amount, those babies who received the recommended 400 units were only 35-40%, and after 6 months it tailed off and they weren't getting enough. Okay? Those who know, who've got family, who've got newborn babies, that is accepted by the American Association of Pediatrics and Health Canada and the Canadian Association of Pediatrics to be given to a baby the day it's born. So that means the baby can get the full amount. So ddrops.co.uk and you can get it here. So that's the American Association of Pediatric recommendation. Blood pressure. Anybody got high blood pressure? Well, doctors work very hard on little things to help blood pressure. This is not an ultimate solution, but what this does is, here's your systolic blood pressure. If you've got high blood pressure, you're above 120 in systolic. You're probably up at 140. Well, just calcium will get that down by 5 millimetres. Calcium and vitamin D will get that down by 13 millimetres. So just, that's one of half a dozen things that you need to do if you've got high blood pressure, and you and your doctor need to do. It's not the whole story, but it's worth adding.
What if somebody's taking a statin?
That's a whole other subject, which I'm not going to get into now. But I don't take statins, and I won't. And if anybody would ask me, I would advise not to. But don't just not take them. You have to do other things instead.
Yeah, it's not me.
It's the vitamin D. You need, what statins do is they affect the cholesterol in the body. So does sunlight on the skin. So does vitamin D. So one of the first doctors that I asked about this said, don't take statins, take vitamin D. But you need to consult with your doctor and discuss it, because that's a separate subject. But if your doctor is fighting to get your your blood pressure down, this is about a quarter or a fifth of the tools that the doctor requires. I doubt if any of you are involved with tuberculosis, but it is absolutely proven that vitamin D helps with tuberculosis. Influenza. They did a test in, when was it, 2008-09 with 334 Japanese school children. They gave them 1,200 units of vitamin D. And those children who took the vitamin D had from 60 to 40% less influenza. I'm not taking a flu jab, I'm taking vitamin D, zinc, selenium, and I haven't had a cold for 4 years. Here's the cancer trial. What they did was more than 1,000 healthy women, age 66 years or so, over 4 years, 1,000 finished. and they were given calcium plus vitamin D, and those women achieved a 77% reduction in cancer. This is very carefully analysed because they discounted those who got cancer in the first year on the assumption that there might have been something going on before they started the trial. So it has to be looked at very carefully. It's a giant number. It was a small trial. It wasn't a massive trial, and therefore it needs to be considered, but it's not definitive. People on dialysis. So, how much is enough? Summarising all the information that I've read, if all you're worrying about is bones, 25 nanomoles, that's fine. There are doctors that I'm working with who see 1,000 bones a year. They're at the orthopaedic hospital in Stanmore. And they compare the bones with the blood. And there's no question about it. I mean, they're getting accidents, people who've been injured. So they're seeing bones of healthy people. And what they found is that when the blood level is less than 75 nanomoles, there is the beginnings of osteoporosis. People who've got more than 75 or 80 nanomoles, there's no osteoporosis. So if you're looking at how can I avoid osteoporosis, I would say take 2,000 to 4,000 units of vitamin D a day, plus vitamin K, boron, magnesium, plus the cofactors. And do it from the time you're 20, and then by the time you're 50, 60, you almost certainly won't have osteoporosis. I'm not going to recommend this as a means of treatment, but I know somebody who's been selling sunbeds for 30 years. And he had his bones tested, and he said he goes on his own sunbeds twice a week. He had his bones tested, and the doctor said, these are the strongest bones we have ever, ever, ever seen. So it's something to consider. You may not want to go on a sunbed for other reasons because of skin cancer, and I'll come back to that in a moment. For cancer prevention, the consensus among thousands of people is get your blood level up above 100 nanomoles, and that will help reduce your risk of cancer. What Bruce Hollis and Carol Wagner found in the trials with pregnant women is that there's absolute evidence that pregnant women ought to have higher than the average.
Somebody's trying to get pregnant, then what should they be taking? Before pregnancy.
Before pregnancy, go on a holiday together to a sunny country, get your vitamin D level up, and then come back and try and conceive. If people are having fertility problems, get your vitamin D level up, both the man and the woman.
So if the man has a low sperm count...
There's a number of factors, but vitamin D level in the man is a factor as well, but there are other things as well.
What about losing pregnancy? Is it the same thing?
Yes, if miscarriage and problems in pregnancy are avoided, are reduced. Yeah. next question that I usually get is, well, is it toxic? There's no toxicity been seen below 500 nanomoles. So if you're shooting for 100, 150, you're safe. No one has seen toxicity in the average adult below 30,000 units a day. So if you're taking 5 to 10,000 or 7,000 or 10,000, you're pretty safe. Unless you've got sarcoidosis, and then you'll know that you shouldn't be taking it. How long does it last? Zinc and vitamin C have a half-life in the body of a few hours. Here we're talking about something that has a half-life in the body of more than 30 days. And so you can take it weekly. You could take the equivalent amount weekly. So if you said, I want to take 3,000, multiply by 7, that's 20,000 roughly. The doctors have got 20,000 units.
I read somewhere that we can go as high as 10,000 without toxicity.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can I say something? My daughter was suffering from leukemia.
Yes.
And they were giving her 10,000.
Good. Mm. And did it help?
Yes. The leukemia had vanished.
Oh, surprise, surprise. Yeah.
And I was a patient, and my first dose had to be 100,000.
Right. Well, the 200,000 is interesting. Was that an injection?
No, tablet. Dose.
That's okay. Well, that's what would have happened in your body. That's 100,000. What the 100,000... I know where this was done. This was done in, not Arkansas, somewhere in the south of America. So people were up at 60 or 70 nanomoles. And that was one tablet that bumped it up by, what is that, 35 nanomoles. So you'd have had a spike up to probably 150. And then it would have dropped. How long ago?
Oh, over about 2 years ago.
Oh, it's gone.
Oh yeah, but this is so that's what I was just saying an amount.
And after that,
And after that, 20,000 per month.
20,000 a month.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's less than that's only 700 or 800 a day. Mm-hmm. So you've only lifted the level a little.
That's what the doctor prescribed. Yeah,
that's what the doctor can give you.
That's fine. Yeah. That's where the doctors are at today. I'm not going to knock it.
Yeah.
They need to learn a bit more about it.
So are they safe? I've been prescribed 20,000
yes.
units per week. I'm not taking it because
you should.
It's given by the doctor.
You should.
Are they safe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a German product called Dextral.
Decrystal.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's safe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It has a little peanut oil in it. But
yeah, there's a peanut oil.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. Absolutely safe.
Yeah. Okay.
And I recommend that you follow your doctor's instructions and take it once every week.
Sorry, I didn't hear what the lady said. Why was she prescribed that high?
Why?
I was deficient.
Oh, you were deficient.
And
yeah.
What were the symptoms? Why?
Well, I went mainly because I was tired. And so she did a whole spectrum
right.
of tests.
Yeah.
And it happened to come out that I was deficient in vitamin D.
Right.
And it was winter time.
Are you feeling? You're feeling better now?
Yeah, I've just come back from somewhere quite sunny, so yeah, I think that's fine. Okay. But yeah, it's much better since. You know, I've been more conscious of vitamin D ever since.
You might like to ask your doctor about vitamin
B12. Oh yeah, they just
in terms of energy.
Yeah.
When I started taking vitamin B12, 1,000 units of methyl cobalamin, not cyanocobalamin, my energy levels went way up.
Really?
Methyl cobalamin. They've got some in there.
The one that you chew.
It doesn't matter how you take it.
1,000 a day.
1,000 micrograms a day. Most multivitamins have got 10 micrograms. Pernicious. If you're severely deficient, if you're a vegetarian and you never eat meat, you are going to be deficient in B12. You must take a supplement. Talk to a doctor and take a supplement. Because the B12 comes from meat.
That supplement, is it all right for vegan?
You're talking about yours, your Decrystal.
Yeah.
Your Decrystal has got oil produced.
I'm asking B12.
Don't know.
What is the symptom of overdose of vitamin
B12? Don't know. Better ask a doctor. Don't remember. There's a lovely book here called Could it be B12?
Yeah, there is a book.
There's a book here about it, and it's very good. There's another book called Pernicious Anemia, and you're pretty safe. You could certainly go 10 times that dose. D3 versus D2, there are many people who argue about this, but this was a test that said the D3, which is the animal product, and the D2, which is the mushroom product, have a different half-life. So you might like to consider that.
Sorry, did you say
B12 and mushroom? No, sorry. I was jumping. I'm sorry. I'm jumping about the D2... The vegetarian, vegan, vitamin D, comes from mushrooms. Any mushrooms, they shine ultraviolet light on the mushroom, and the mushroom takes up the vitamin D and stores it. And then it's extracted and put into those drops. And there are others in the store.
It's got a short life.
It has a shorter life in the body, and therefore...
In the body, or
in the body. Oh, no, this has got a three-year shelf life. In the body. Then that you should take daily.
All right, okay. Okay.
This is one of the top five experts in the world, Professor Robert Heaney, Vitamin D enables the body to absorb calcium from your food, from your broccoli, from your whatever you eat. It does not cause the calcium absorption. It enables the body to absorb the calcium. It doesn't cause kidney stones. Absolutely, definitely does not. There are more than 30 randomized controlled trials. The longest, the most are to do with osteoporosis and falls, coupled with hypertension. There's more than one on cancer now. Tuberculosis, infection, pregnancy outcomes, periodontal disease, and insulin diabetes. Real randomized controlled trials where lack of sunlight is definitely related to the illness. The illness is caused by lack of sunlight. There were some trials that were there are some trials that show null. They're usually too little, or whatever. For some situations, even 18 nanomoles is not high enough. There is a variation in individual response. The emphasis should be on what's your blood level. A very petite Muslim woman who covers up will have a totally different blood level from an obese person. A petite woman who exposes her body to the sun, so an obese person who never exposes their body to the sun. Wildly different levels. You who've got dark skin, I'm not being racist, you've got melanin in your skin. Nature provided you with a sunscreen to protect you when you were in the tropical sun. Now you're here in this country without the sunshine. You need to do something about it. Mm.
So basically, you actually need more of the vitamin D.
You do.
Because of these.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all of the studies that show that African Americans or dark-skinned people have different health outcomes can be traced back to the blood level due to your skin colour. So you and your community need to be aware of this. You need to educate yourselves. You need to take action. It's your health. And it will help you drastically if you get your blood level up. Work with your doctor, read Vitamin D Wiki and other websites that I list, educate yourself. The levels of 100 to 200 nanomoles are what doctors call physiological. They act upon the body, they cause the body to do things differently. And we should achieve, my advice and the advice that I'm following is from 40 recognised experts who issued this call to action, say that we and our friends and family should have 100 to 150 nanomoles. If you're a health professional, whatever their health condition, they're likely to be vitamin D deficient, and if you get that right, it will help. Professor Heaney says that it actually changes the genes. It upregulates some genes and it downregulates some genes, and that vitamin D influences every cell in our body. If you want to hear more of what he says, there's 2 hours of lectures that he gives where he goes into this in.
Yes, I see your website.
Yes, it's on your sheet.
Oh, thank you.
So here are sources of more information. Vitamin D Council, I recommend you subscribe to their mailing list, to their newsletter. Get on their mailing list, it's free. I organised 4 conferences here in London last year, and you can see the videos of them and watch them at your leisure at vitamindassociation.org. Vitamin D Wiki is absolutely superb. I must compliment Henry Lahore, who runs it. I make a trivial contribution to it, and I watch it very carefully, and if anybody says to me, well, what about depression? What about schizophrenia? Or what about pregnancy? I'll go to that site and I'll find the 800 references.
Well,
now, that's up to you. It depends on your special interest. Grassroots Health is an activist network in America who's founded by a lady who suffered with breast cancer and felt that she wanted to change the world. It's on the list here. Take one of these afterwards. And there are some lovely lectures that she organised. University of California, San Diego.tv, search for vitamin D, watch the videos there. There's about 10 or 15 of them. A colleague of mine who is who's ahead of me as an evangelist on vitamin D, Oliver Gilley, runs that one. I run that one, and my primary focus is trying to influence midwives and gynecologists and pregnant women, because that's where the results will come to.
I have an evangelist writer friend who's a grandson has muscular dystrophy, he's sick.
Yes.
He's born in Greece.
Yes.
He also has thyroid issues, but he's very deficient in vitamin D, and his body's not taking it for some reason.
He almost certainly has a genetic condition.
Yes, he does.
Which means that his body is not taking it.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that he needs specific DNA analysis and treatment. It may be that massive doses of vitamin D will help, but his doctor has to consider that. And if the family and the doctors have the resources to get help to do maybe DNA sequencing analysis, and
I've done all that.
And it may be that 20,000 units a day, you may be necessary. I know an American man who needs 20,000 a day. It's helped him.
Because when he goes into the sun, he breaks into a rash, so it's a catch 22.
Yeah, so he can't take the sunlight, but he might be able to take
the
pills.
At 6, it's okay? That's kind of
wrong. Well, that's for his doctor to work for the amount. But if the doctor, if the family and the doctor will accept that the blood level ought to be up high, and that here are things to do, it might be other cofactors that are deficient.
Well, the thyroid, I guess.
Thyroid has a factor.
Thank you. What type of vitamin K and boron do you recommend?
Well, K2 is a specific vitamin K.
Which brand?
And Biotech Pharmacal has a product called D3 Plus, which includes all of those cofactors. Biotech Pharmacal.
Tech.
Vitamin K. K2.
No, Biotech.
I don't know anything about borax.
Yeah.
Boron.
Right. Borax.
There's the name of the company, Biotech Pharmacal. I'm very frustrated because the business development manager here said to me a month ago, yes, they'll take this company's products here, but they aren't in the shop yet.
They are here?
They're not yet, but they will come. Okay. Worst case, you could order them over the internet yourself. Yeah.
As a midwife, I'll try and spread that message to the Pericraft Club.
Good. Will you be going to the Brighton conference next week? The midwives, British midwives. What's your organisation?
Is it a union?
The Midwifery Association, the Midwives Association, are having their annual conference next week on Tuesday and Wednesday in Brighton. And I will be there exhibiting.
Could you say something about the other vitamins, the D-plus?
There are at least 10 manufacturers of vitamin D products in the shop. I would like to promote 1,000 units, 400 units, 1,000 units, and 2,000 units in drop form. In the form I showed you, in the simple one drop a day. You know, if you decide you want 2,000 units, well, take two drops, put it in a drink, put it on your finger, take it anywhere you like. That's an accurate measure. It's a bit slow, but it's...
But if you need three or four,
put it in a drink.
Long time.
Okay. It's your life.
Did you want to have any drops you're taking already?
Professor Healy said he's very comfortable with any adult taking 300,000 units in a month.
Now, he's there
10,000 a day. So you take it all at once, a little peak, once a week, and if I'm demonstrating it, I usually demonstrate the 400 units.
And which company is that company?
That's D-Drops company, that's the first one. D-Drops.co.uk.
And is that one here?
Yes.
Biotech.
And Biotech Pharma.
Yeah, that's the...
Yeah.
But the three plus.
But look, I'm trying to be impartial. There are 10 manufacturers. They're all good products. They're available in the shop. Of course, I've got a commercial interest with two, so I'm going to promote those. But I've tried to be impartial this evening.
And the link between anemia and this, you know, deficiency in vitamin D.
Anemia is iron. That's not vitamin D. Eat some good meat.
Liver.
But talk to your doctor. Says you're anemic.
I've got to be deficient in my.
But if you're anemic, the doctor can give you a shot, a one-time boost of iron, and it lasts for years. It's unlike this one, which peaks and dies off, reduces.
And what's that, sorry, the shots of iron?
Iron.
Yeah, but what?
Is it anemic?
He says it's anemic.
Yeah. Oh, so you're not talking, it's just tablets you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. I don't know enough about anemia, but his doctor should know about anemia. And it's a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. Or once a year, should be tested. Mm-hmm. Yes,
would that help with platelet cells?
Yes. If you're talking about leukemia and other blood-related issues, one of the things that your doctor should look at, or you should ask your doctor, don't self-treat. If you've got leukemia, don't self-treat. But ask your doctor. If you're healthy,
I was healthy.
Feel free to self-treat. If you're ill, take advice from your doctor. Sorry, I stopped you, young lady here.
I'm sorry. I said a lot of the time people are deficient because of lack of digestive enzymes
yes.
in the stomach.
Yes.
And as we get older, that's why we need the B12.
Yes.
Because we can't absorb it.
Yes.
Even if we eat eggs or beans or liver,
exactly.
We can't absorb it as much.
Yeah.
And that's why older people are always injected with B12.
Yes. But it's only in the last 3 or 4 years that B12 has been available as a capsule. And those people who've got pernicious anemia and are vitamin B deficient, about a third of them need more than the doctors currently give, and they need to take special action. They're badly treated by the guidance. They're not served well by the guidance that the Department of Health gives. And it's about a third who suffer, and it's serious. But that's another subject. Well, thank you for your patience. I hope it's been interesting. By all means, take any of this material that's
here.
The midwife's egg.